Peace. Tell y'all, man, he cooked LL on this shit.
Shaking your head, dancing instead of sitting. The rhymes kick, the beats hitting you just like a home dancing run, slamming like a slam dunk. Ride the wave, James Brown, Gay Funk, it happened to James like it happened to me. How you think it feel to see another MC get paid? Using my rap style, and I'm playing the background. Meanwhile, I ain't with that, you can't forget that. You took my style, I'm taking it back, coming back like Return of the Jedi. Suck the MCs in the place. I could only rock rhyme and only rock crowds, but never rock records.
How you like me now?
Yeah. Yo. Peace, y'all. This is the Guys from the Views from the 7 podcast. We are here. Another review. The Last Dance episode 3 and 4. I'm your guy, Spence. I'm joined with my homeboy, Skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
And
what's happening?
Ivan.
AKA Positive
Pete. Hey, what up? What up, man? Did you guys were excited for episode 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was excited. I mean, I couldn't control
it. We could tell.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I waited all fucking day for that bullshit.
You was hype?
Say, nigga, nobody died hyped, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm saying? When you on this quarantine and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, the littlest thing excites you feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I seen the most of episode 3 on ESPN's 30 for 30 doc on the Bad Boy Pistons. So a lot of this wasn't new information. It was just like, okay. And I'm still not digging the flashbacks.
I am. That's the double spot of the doc to me.
No, I like re-seeing. Don't get me wrong. I like re-seeing the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I think what ESPN tried to do was go and try to give you the dynamic of, you know, Rodman on the Pistons, you know, to show why certain people didn't want him on the Bulls. I mean, instead of showing us that, though, it was just another Jordan highlight reel. And don't get me wrong, I'm into Jordan highlight reels. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, just name the
hey man, credit
name
to
something else.
Credit to Jordan, man. He's been carrying this doc though.
Oh, for
sure. Like he's giving you the goods.
Yeah, for sure.
What did y'all expect?
I wasn't expecting him to go as far as he's been going. Like without his dialogue, because the majority of it is him getting interviewed.
Yeah.
But he's carrying it.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to separate it from every other Bulls documentary you've probably seen. Is he's more involved. He's more hands-on. He's, like, giving you the behind-the-scenes shit.
Yeah.
But, so, episode 3 is more geared towards Rodman, right? Why is Rodman's name never mentioned when it comes to the great Bulls team?
Who said his name wasn't mentioned? Who doesn't mention his name?
I mean, it's mentioned, but it ain't mentioned.
You think they don't give him enough credit?
You have to.
I don't, but for obvious reasons.
Well, a lot of people got to realize if Rodman's name isn't mentioned enough when it comes to the Bulls, it's only because he was only on the second three-peat team. You know what I'm saying? Only Jordan Pippen was the two members from the first two.
Yeah.
But it's no way that you can talk about that second three-peat team, that 72-10 team, without mentioning Rodman, with you know him being an outstanding rebounder and defender that he was.
I know for me, when I have them arguments, I always go to the fact that he wasn't an all-star when he played. Despite everything he accomplished as a team, he wasn't an all-star the year that he played with the Bulls. The two all-star years he had was with the Pistons, both.
Yeah, his career was – credit to the Bulls because Rodman was on his way out the league.
I think if he accomplished
– for what he did to the Spurs – the antics on the Spurs, he was on his way out.
I think if Rodman accomplished the same thing he did, everything he accomplished career-wise, except he wasn't on that Bulls team. So if he like did the same shit he did for Chicago but was stayed with the Spurs, I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame. I think he's in the Hall of Fame because he accomplished what he did on a three-peat team.
Facts. Before the Bulls, Rodman was just known as a dude with curly hair.
The worm.
So that's it. You know, You know,
not even
you don't
that.
Even, was, you don't even mention.
He didn't start the colorful hair to the.
You didn't.
No, he started the colorful hair with Spurs. With the Spurs.
Spurs. Yeah. It wasn't. He wasn't even just the colorful hair. It's the heat day. He fucking Madonna. He fucking Carmen Electra. He doing all this other shit. He showed up with a dress on. I don't know if that was with the Bulls or before the Bulls or after the Bulls. That was with the Bulls when he showed up with the dress on.
When he married himself.
Married himself. All that other shit. So.
Do y'all think his antics overshadow his place in basketball history?
Absolutely.
Not to basketball purists, but, you know, to the average person, you know, thinking of Dennis Rodman, I could see that.
Even in this documentary, and I ask that because the majority of the time we talk about Rodman, it's the shit he's doing, his antics, motherfucker going to North Korea and shit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Even in this piece. He was in both 3 and 4, right?
Right.
Yeah. But it was more so about his antics. There was only about 5 minutes where he gave you how he perfected rebounding.
Yeah.
And that to me discredits him when it comes to the Bulls team or this documentary in general. It's like you got all of these. You got all of these amazing greats, and then you just got this head case.
What I'm disappointed from on episode 3 is that when you come to Rodman to me is known as with, you know, four things if you're going to, you know, describe Rodman. Rebounds, one, his hair, two, defense, three. But the thing that I didn't see none of last night was the amount of fights that Rodman got into when he played in the league. That's what I remember as a kid watching Rodman.
Yeah.
Everybody getting into a fight with Rodman because of the shit that Rodman would do on the court.
They didn't mention the fights, but they did mention, like, he was a rash to players, how he harassed players.
Yeah, but show the goddamn fights. It was a lot of them motherfuckers.
It was. That's for sure what I remember. I didn't really get into Rodman until he came to the Bulls.
Yeah.
Lightly during the Spurs. Of course, I wasn't no part of the fucking, when it was Bad Boy, the Pistons. I was so young.
I honestly forgot that he was on the Bad Boy Pistons.
What? How?
The Bad Boy Pistons is only mentioned because of Michael Jordan and them being a hurdle for Jordan. Without Jordan having the Pistons as a hurdle like that,
you can't do that. Because something was mentioned today. Uh-huh. Something was mentioned today that stands out.
Go ahead.
A lot, right? They could have easily, well, not easily, but because they gave it away. But Detroit should have been the first three-peat team.
Okay,
so
they threw the ball to who the fuck they when they was playing the Celtics. They had that game and they threw the ball to Dennis Johnson.
But see, that's coulda, woulda, shoulda.
But no. Hold up. Let me finish.
Stop. They three-peat though.
No. See, and that's the problem.
We talking about the front end.
See, and this but this is the problem because too many people.
Uh-huh.
And credit to Isaiah Thomas for pointing this out to me, because we're finna get into all of that. But too many people put Jordan's greatness in the 80s, and then it builds up to the 90s. Jordan didn't start winning until the 90s.
He was great since he came in the league, though.
But he was just a win. I mean, he was just that a means great
the
player.
Bulls wasn't great till the 90s.
He was Jordan just a great player. He was just a great player. He came in the league. Against the Lakers, against the Pistons, and against the Celtics, Jordan had a losing record.
I say what I say because of this. When you think of 1980s basketball, you think of two teams, Celtics-Lakers. You don't think of Pistons. You don't.
You think of Pistons.
You don't.
How?
And when you think of great motherfucking players from the 80s, you think of Magic and Larry Bird.
You have to fucking
Isaiah Thomas' name is never there. No matter how great he was, in the conversations, his name is never there.
But because of what, though?
When you hear about the Bad Boy Pistons, you only hear about them because of the Bulls' battles with them.
That's not true at all.
You're crazy.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
I think
I'm in these sports groups and we have these conversations on damn near a daily basis. That's not true at all.
No. Even the sports games was geared towards Bulls. I mean, not Bulls. Boston and Lakers. I think it's a video game called
it was Jordan versus Bird. It was Jordan versus Bird. It wasn't.
But a lot of sports heads like to do that. Like there were good teams between the Celtics, the Lakers, and then Jordan. Jordan didn't start winning and taking over the league until the 90s.
Yeah.
But we keep putting him in the 80s as this great winner.
No. They won. remember, Jordan had never missed the playoffs. All right, so you can't say he didn't. He wasn't winning. He
kept getting bounced.
He wasn't winning championships.
When was first championship?
1991.
How far did they get until then?
What do you mean? How far? Look, if you want to say that only teams that make it to the championships is winners, then say that. But it's a lot of great teams that never even made it to a championship. We spoke of one last week when we talked about the Blazers.
But your beginning argument, Ant, was...
No, you said Jordan wasn't great until the 90s. I said Jordan had always been great. The Bulls were not great till the 90s. You have to separate the
Jordan
two.
Jordan was a great player, but you tried to put him in the 80s. Where he was just great in the 80s. He was just a great player.
Ivan, did Jordan not win an MVP?
Y'all are saying the same thing.
No, because he's saying that Jordan wasn't great because the Bulls weren't great. I'm saying Jordan was still great. The Bulls just weren't great.
You tried to put Jordan's greatness in the 80s when he was losing to those teams in the 80s.
Jordan was still great.
Jordan was still great.
I'm not taking that away from him, but he has a losing record in the 80s.
As far as what? He didn't win any championships. If you're starting to say he didn't win any championships, then you can say that.
Against the great teams, he has a losing record.
Great teams.
Okay.
Great teams.
So you just tried to erase what Detroit was doing. You said because of Jordan.
I am a 35-year-old man who didn't start paying attention to basketball to about 92. Okay. Come on, how old was you in 92? How old was you? You can tell. You can't tell. Look, you was glued to episode 1 and 2 because you never seen none of that shit before. Cut it out, bro. I'm saying that for my age group, when you talk about 80s basketball, the Pistons just don't come up. They come up because of their battles with the Bulls. Y'all can say it's not true or whatever. Whatever talks y'all had. I didn't have many of motherfucking social media debates. Also, the Pistons never come up. It's always Bird Magic. It ain't never Bird Magic Thomas. It's always Bird versus Magic. If you bring Thomas up, the only rival you're going to bring up for Thomas is Jordan.
No, that's not true at all.
Who else are you going to bring? Who was Isaiah Thomas' rival?
You're going to bring up the fact that he knocked off Larry Bird, then knocked off Magic Johnson.
I'm talking Isaiah Thomas.
He's the only player that you can say knocked off all three. He knocked off all three. He knocked off Bird, he knocked off Magic Johnson, and he knocked off Michael Jordan.
The walk-off is what got most sports heads thinking like you.
What do you mean?
That and freezing Jordan in the All-Star game. He went from being famous to infamous. If you take those incidents away and he keeps the squeaky clean image he had.
He's number
before
two
that,
point guard in the league.
I think he might
ever.
He might be number two point guard in the league.
But I think even that's probably just
people give him that, but you still didn't give me a rival to Isaiah Thomas.
Michael Jordan?
Exactly.
They knocked off the Celtics.
You just made my point.
I was reiterating what you had just said.
That's the only person you bring up for Isaiah. Oh, he got past Jordan. Jordan couldn't get past him.
I just told you.
He wasn't a rival to Bird. Bird's rival is Magic. Exactly. Bird and Magic. It wasn't Bird, Magic, Thomas. Those wasn't Isaiah Thomas's rivals. Those two were rivals. Who was Isaiah Thomas's rival?
Who was Isaiah Thomas's rival before Michael Jordan, before the Bulls became a complete team?
Who?
The Celtics. The Celtics ran the East in the
80s. So everybody was like, oh man, can't wait to see that Bird Thomas.
No, they didn't play the same position.
When you're talking about guards.
They both weren't guards.
Exactly.
So I'm
asking y'all simply to give me a Thomas rival.
So
other than Jordan.
Isaiah Thomas was to Michael Jordan what Bird was to Isaiah Thomas. You can't just discount what Isaiah Thomas had to go through with the Celtics to just say, oh, well, he's Michael Jordan's rival. He had to be somebody else's rival first, too, right?
was they a rival? Because the last time I checked, the Pistons won.
That's the media perception.
The Pistons won 89-90, right?
89-90.
So what makes you a rival? A rival going back and forth is what makes you a rival, correct?
Who did?
Correct.
Who did the Celtics beat in 88?
Huh?
Who did the Celtics beat in 88?
It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is you have to go back and forth
beat in
to 88? Be a rival.
Who did the Celtics beat in 88?
If it's one-sided.
Answer the question, Anthony.
If it's one-sided, it's not a rival.
How is it
one-sided?
You're taking the media's perception of what the 80s looked like. Right. Is what it
exactly.
Like.
That's what I'm telling you.
You're taking the media's perception.
Oh, my goodness.
Isaiah Thomas.
What am I telling y'all? I'm telling y'all what the 80s look like to the average fucking person.
We're not talking about the media. We're talking about you.
You telling me I'm taking the media's perspective.
Because you
that means that's the perspective that the media gave us. That means to the average person, when you think of 80s basketball, you think of Celtics Lakers.
We're not asking you for the media's perspective. We're asking you for your perspective.
I just gave you my perspective.
No, you just said the same thing the media's saying.
Exactly. That's my perspective also.
Okay, so you're the media then.
Oh, my goodness.
You're a beat writer.
I think it's the same thing. I think it's the same thing that that's the same thing that the doc showed as far as the Celtics and everything. But Isaiah did say in the doc.
Uh-huh.
That he had to get past Bird. Like, Bird was his obstacle.
Yeah.
So he did say that they was rivals as far as the East Coast was going. He's like, we had to get past Bird. Because he said, we did our walk-off, and ours is frowned upon. But y'all don't speak on when the Celtics walked off on us. Like, that was just a part of...
Yeah, you got to have context with that, though.
What's the context? Did it happen or did it not happen?
Because...
if it happened, it's no other context.
Yeah, but fans were running on the court. There was a lot of shit going on why the Celtics walked off the court. I don't blame, and we jumping right to this too fast, but it is what it is. I don't blame Isaiah and the Pistons for walking off, because what the media does not like to show is that Jordan and the Bulls were saying disrespectful things. What Jordan and Isaiah got going on to me is far more personal than just basketball.
Was they not saying disrespectful shit to Jordan?
Was they not knocking the Jordan on his ass, beating the fuck out of Jordan?
See, that's... Man,
I'd rather you say some shit to me than beat the fuck out of me.
But
personally.
Saying shit
but
to
that's
him
a
too.
That's a false narrative, too. Because you cannot fucking tell me that the Bad Boy Pistons were the only team playing hard-nosed defense like that in the league. Y'all sit up here and y'all say... I miss the defense from back in the day. You can't even touch them now. But then when you're watching it, it's like, we're just putting him on his ass. They all were playing like that. Not just the Pistons. The defense back
so
then
why
was
is the Pistons only known for that? Why is that the Pistons?
Because they're the only team that embraced it.
They the main team that made it turn into championships. We took this.
Well,
because
we bullied you niggas, but they,
fuck yeah, we bullied
but
y'all.
Everybody,
we bullied our way to a championship.
Everybody was playing defense like that. Defense was just way more fucking harder back then. Niggas was really hitting you.
I don't know. I have to go watch more older tapes. But
yeah, I gotta go watch that tape.
From what I'm getting from the doc,
the
like I'm going off of what the fuck I'm getting off this doc. Like this is what we here for the doc.
Okay.
What I'm getting off the doc is that's what the Pistons was doing.
Yeah.
Every team was doing it, but the Pistons was doing it to another level.
But,
the Pistons was fouling you more. They was hurting you more. It was more fights. You see Lambert punching niggas in the face.
Yeah.
You see, you hear Sally saying, we used to elbow niggas in the face. You even got John Sally when he speak on Pippen being a better player than Jordan to him. He even speak on that, like, because of the way he used to whoop Pippen ass. Like, it's not on, he was like, the way I used to whoop his ass, and he wasn't responding. Jordan responded. Pippen didn't respond. Pippen just kept on playing ball.
Okay, so y'all mean to tell me, right? You remember the Kurt Rambis clothesline?
Yes.
Who was that by?
That was by Kevin McHale, wasn't it?
So Bad Boy Pistons was the only fucking team playing defense like that.
We're not saying they were the
only team.
We ain't
saying
they
the only
team.
This is what they're known for. So they obviously was doing
it
to a higher level than everybody else,
because
this is what the fuck
they
are known for.
They were the only team embracing it. We're going to be the bad team. The problem is that perception takes away from their history.
How? They bullied their way to two championships.
I don't know how.
Like, you saying whatever the fuck, like, they wasn't the only team doing it. Like, we know that. Jordan wasn't the only person dunking. Like, we know that. Jordan was the only nigga flying through the air. We know this. But what are you known for? This is what you're known for.
I can't. And,
this
is
what the league embraced you for.
But see, but the thing is, though,
they call it the Bad Boy Pistons.
Another thing, right, is they were known to do things before it started happening. Like they were saying, Bill Laimbeer was the first one that they would call a stretch five.
Mm-hmm.
The first one with the pick and pop.
Okay,
they stopped that. They made a rule against that.
Yeah.
He was the first one with the pick and pop. Those years that they so-called had, they were known for this so hard-nosed defense, you would think the game was all rugged. When they were one of the top offenses in the league.
They were. Not arguing it.
Perception.
I get.
They had to give the media or whoever else something to run with. So whatever the fuck they gave him to run with was the fact that they beat your ass on motherfucking defense. Simple as that. Once again, and if we going, it don't matter. It don't do nothing but prove my goddamn point. So even if we want to say, oh, well, there's other teams.
You're
well, they the team that beat Jordan
right
ass.
You're not proving
they the
point.
Team beat Jordan ass, and they known as being the bad boy Pistons. So obviously it brings me back to the point that Pistons only known for fucking beating Jordan ass. Simple as that.
Yeah, well, no, they not only known for beating Jordan.
They
ass.
Only known for beating Jordan's ass.
No, they know they known for beating everybody ass because they even talk about
they whooped
even,
Jordan
even Larry
inside
Bird,
and out until
whooped,
fucking 91.
They whooped everybody ass. They just got the Jordan rule. They known for the Jordan rule.
Mm-hmm. They known for beating Jordan ass.
But they're just also known for beating.
That's all they're known for.
They also known.
Yeah, that's it.
That's wild. Known, crazy.
To me, they bullied their way to championships. But I'm not saying they wasn't a good team. Isaiah How Thomas, you whether you say it or
when
not.
When you say bully their way to a championship, you would think the game was like 40 to 50. Like just straight, just.
I'm beating y'all motherfucking ass. I'm trying to injure
when I think
you
of
so
when
I can
I think
get
of, when I think of beating your ass hard-nosed defense, I'm thinking of the Pistons when they had motherfucking Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups when they just smothered you. That to me is hard nosed fucking defense when the score was motherfucking 63-72. That's you telling me that the team
niggas
you
had shooters
that's
too.
Hard nosed.
Them niggas had shooters too.
The they fuck? Smothered you back then.
So Rip Hamilton's a hard nosed defender. Tayshaun Prince a hard nosed defender.
Yes. Tayshaun Prince.
No,
yes.
They play great
oh
team
God,
defense.
Man, this nigga's just loud
they
and wrong all the time.
They play great team defense, but they ain't no hard nosed defender. Like
they smothered you.
Tayshaun Prince is
they
one
play
of the
great team.
He was
ball.
One of the, he was one of great the premier. He was one of the premier wing defenders. Ben Wallace won Defensive Player of the Year 3-4 times.
Yeah, I get Ben Wallace
the,
that all fucking
the,
day.
When you sit up here, you talking about all they known for is their defense. I'm thinking of the scores. When Chauncey Billups and them was on the Detroit Pistons, when the score was in the low 60s, the fucking low 70s.
They was great defenders.
When you
they
talk about the bad boy
defense.
Pistons, they were one of the premier offenses in the league.
I don't. That
we know you don't
I
care.
That
if you don't help your,
I, once again,
help your narrative. I'm going to
say it again.
We know.
Once again.
Scream, nigga.
Once again. I didn't start paying attention to basketball until about 92. So if I don't pay attention to basketball till 92, what do I have to go by?
So why are you so loud? Then?
Say it again.
You so loud about nothing.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'm damn sure not going to let a nigga that's probably born in 89 tell me about the 89 Pistons. Ain't going to happen.
But nigga, I went and did my homework, nigga. You didn't. You lived
you went and did your homework. Okay. Yeah. Let me go. I ain't check Wikipedia in a minute. Let me go see what they talking
you
about.
Failed.
So let me go see what they
I just
talking
did,
about.
And the Celtics went. I mean, the Pistons went to the Eastern Conference Finals 5 years in a row. Two of them were against the
They should have been the first three-peat if two, they didn't throw the ball away to Dennis Johnson.
Two of them were against the Celtics.
Okay, yeah, but like I say, it was one-sided. So
rah,
if two
rah,
of,
rah,
if you, blue ball, if you went 5 years in a row, right, and you won two, was it back and forth? Or no. Was it one-sided till to the other
they
team got low?
They lost both of them to the Celtics. Then they won the two against the Bulls. Then they lost the one against the Bulls. That was the last time they went.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
wait,
yeah.
What you
one-sided.
Mean? They didn't lose
one. One-sided.
They lost. So the Celtics played. The Celtics played in the finals those 2 years.
Yeah.
They beat the Celtics 1 year.
Did they?
Yeah.
They did back to back.
That's when
McKevin
McHale.
So 3-2. So they lost to the Celtics 1 year. They beat the Celtics 1 year. They beat the Bulls twice.
They should have beat the Celtics twice.
You keep saying the Bulls. The Bulls is not the championship. That's the Eastern Conference championship.
That's what I just said.
Then they beat the Lakers.
I said the Eastern Conference championship.
That's what he said. He said
Eastern Conference. I'm thinking of the championship.
Like I said.
Hey, it's a hood nigga review, nigga. We ain't ESPN either.
If it's one-sided, then it ain't no fucking.
Why do you keep saying
ain't no rivalry to me.
They should have beat the Celtics
twice. So why do you call it? Why do you call the Bulls Pistons a rivalry? Then?
Because that's what the media calls the Bulls Pistons a rivalry.
I think it for sure was a.
Sir, you nobody asked you about what the fuck the score was, bitch.
I think it for sure was a rivalry. Like they said it was a rivalry. They said Isaiah says he had a rivalry with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Same as the Bulls saying we had a rivalry with the Pistons. If we speak in Eastern. On the Eastern Conference side, that's where the rivalries was at.
But then, even when they say it's a rivalry, it's always coming from
when you
the Bulls
play,
side.
When you play your always, when you play teams in your conference,
yeah.
Six fucking times a year, everybody's your rivalry, your rival.
No, not at all.
Because at all. Why?
I wouldn't call the Sacramento Kings over the last fucking 10 years Golden
say,
State's
well,
rivalry.
So according to this documentary, since we go on the media route, according to this documentary, then Cleveland should be the. Michael Jordan's rivalry because they was beating the shit out of Michael Jordan until that shot.
I sure shouldn't say that.
Okay, but you could say that Cleveland could be Michael Jordan's rivalry.
Let me hear you get loud, nigga.
Was it the Eastern Conference Finals? What was the stakes on that game?
They beat them.
The playoffs.
What was the stakes?
His shot was in the playoffs.
He said they beat them six times that year, and the game with the game seven, they won by a shot at the end of regulation, at the end of game seven.
No, I think it was
that's a rivalry.
I think back then it was five.
It was seven. It was game seven.
No, it was five.
That was the first
round. But they played six times in the regular season.
Boy, y'all stretching
it was five
shit as fuck,
it was
too.
Five.
Y'all stretching shit like shit to try and make
you
it
the first
argue.
Round was five?
I don't call the early 2000s Lakers a rivalry versus the early 2000s Mavericks. I call the Lakers-Spurs rivalries because they were playing in the Western Conference Finals. I don't call the motherfucking the Lakers-Jazz rivals, even though they met in the finals. I don't do that.
It was game five. I was wrong.
It was game five.
So I play you back then 11 times a year?
11 times. I played 11 times.
Yeah, I don't call that no rival. If it's one side, it's not a rival.
As long as
I don't
it's
care.
Not, it got to be a premier.
It got to go back and
it
forth.
It got to be sexy.
It got to
be
something.
A sexy rivalry.
So it's one. How is it one sided? The Cavs beat the Bulls six times.
Uh-huh.
Is that the one sided? The Cavs was the one sided people?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And they one sided. Just like you couldn't call this Warriors-Cavs a rivalry if the Cavs didn't win one in the middle. You couldn't call it that. If it's one-sided, you don't call it. You don't call the Cowboys versus Bills a rivalry. It's so, one-sided.
So you whoop my ass all season, and then we get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I finally win.
Mm-hmm.
That don't feel like a rivalry?
No. Regular season games don't have the same merit as playoff games. They don't have it.
Okay.
Simple as that. If you're meeting for something that actually means something – a trip to the finals or in the finals, then it's a rivalry. Till then, the game don't mean much for it to be a rivalry.
They went to game five. It only had five games.
Okay. So that means every playoff series that ever went to game
okay,
five,
me,
six,
okay,
seven,
okay,
or whatever
okay,
is a
so
rivalry.
Let me debunk that.
I don't think it was a rivalry.
Let me debunk that argument. Let me debunk that argument, right? Because when it comes to the San Antonio Spurs, mm-hmm. my team,
mm-hmm.
their rivalry is the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I'll say that, yeah.
The all-time record is 113-71.
I don't care about the all.
Is that what is it?
113 games.
Did we call
71.
It? Was it called a rivalry before the early 2000s? Would you have called the Dallas Mavericks and San Antonio's a rivalry in the early 2000s? Yes, because they was going through each other a lot of the times to get where they needed to go.
When the Celtics and the Lakers play in the regular season, that's not a rivalry either?
The Celtics and Lakers has a historic rivalry dating back to the 80s.
Said,
this is what
you,
I'm saying.
You said regular season games don't count.
No, they have a finals rivalry dating back to the 80s. This is what I said.
I'm asking you what you said. I'm asking
the rivalry's already established. The rivalry wasn't established by regular season games.
Mm.
I mean, tell me when I'm wrong.
Shit, how much time you got?
They been saying you was wrong the whole
time. Yeah, I got all this time.
I mean, shit, we can't say it. Shit, you yelling on us, motherfucker. So, what else was interesting? Doug Collins.
Yeah.
Right? And I want to give him all props. He basically watched another coach get groomed right under him to take his place.
Shit, that sound like Frank Vogel today. Frank Vogel.
Oh, you talking about him watching Phil Jackson?
Like you knew, like,
that sound like
he
Frank
even
Vogel.
Said it. Like I knew he was taking my spot. I think he was one of those coaches who was also a fan. He was definitely a Michael Jordan fan. He kept the ball in Michael Jordan's hand smartly. But when he basically, he's basically saying Michael Jordan won all of this while I was the coach.
Yeah.
He did take a lot of credit.
See, but it was like no one else had the ball to get any credit.
He definitely took credit. He took credit for putting
the ball in Michael Jordan's hands.
Because he, like, listed all the accomplishments that Jordan accomplished under his tenure, basically. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shit, was he wrong?
trying to figure out.
I don't think he was wrong, but I don't think he was right either.
I'm the coach. He's my player. This is what he accomplished while I was here.
For him.
And I drew up the plays for him to do this. Yeah.
I don't think he drew up any plays. I think he was. We watched
Give that nigga the ball.
We watched Mark Phillips on Twitter every fucking day. And he looked like the nigga. He looked like Mark Phillips. Them basketball skits he be doing. The star player shit. That's why you laugh, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. He looked exactly like that.
Oh God! Perfectly.
You got if y'all ain't seen him, then I can't.
Y'all gotta watch Mark Phillips.
Gotta watch Mark Phillips. But that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Yeah, but then you know I do want to give a credit to all the superstars back then, not just Jordan, because it takes hell of a drive to play a team six times in the regular season and still bust their ass with that much film on you. Six times?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause you
I don't think the superstars of that era get the credit that they deserve.
But I do got to. One thing stuck out to me, and I had to do my homework.
Okay.
You weren't allowed to play zone.
You weren't allowed to play zone?
No. No.
So, you basically got every time Jordan got the ball, he had a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah. That's the way it should be.
Until he got to the hole.
You can't do that, man.
Then it was
that's the reason
people.
Why I can't watch college basketball. I hate watching college basketball because of the zone. I can't stand watching the motherfucking ball get passed around the perimeter.
At that time, I think they're too young to be playing zone because it creates that bad habits. But once you get in the league, you can't play a bench player one on one.
I think the zone.
That to me, you got to have zones and schemes. You can't. Michael Jordan one on one?
That's how it should be, though. But you got to remember, they're, at the time, there was hand checking as well. So I think you got to take that into account, too. Like, it's different when a nigga leaning on you and got his hands on you, he can kind of guide you where he wants you to go.
Yeah.
That helps.
Like Jordan versus.
Absolutely.
My man's.
Byron Russell?
Byron Russell.
Absolutely. That helps. Especially with a nigga like Jordan, where you can kind of. You kind of have to be. You have to be more skilled to play individual defense. Like you can hide niggas in the zone. If you're not a strong individual defender, you can hide niggas in the zone, which is what it's designed for, basically.
Yeah.
But you have to have some skill level to guard a nigga like, especially a nigga like Jordan, because I'm going to put my best defender on you.
Can you imagine Jordan one on one today? Like Jordan. That, you got to start off. Ain't no double teams. Ain't no zone. One on one, every time I get the ball. That's why he was blowing past niggas, just dunking on niggas.
Even he still got it to the point where it was like four people on that nigga. He still,
yeah, but that was after he dribbled.
But we can't sit up here and say, oh, that's the reason why Jordan is great. Every other person in the league had one on one, too. They didn't do what Jordan did.
No, there was a few.
There's a couple of niggas that was kicking.
Like Jordan? No.
Dominique?
Like Jordan? No.
Dominique?
Dominique was great.
He didn't have the
Clyde
team.
To Clyde was Drake. They were great.
They didn't have the team success. Dominique didn't have the team around him.
Dominique
Jordan.
Didn't have team success. Portland did. Just Portland not a did. Championship.
So if Dominique had the team around him that Jordan had.
How many MVPs Dominique got?
None.
Okay. I'm always go to that.
The one thing, it was interesting to me. That every hurdle that Jordan had to get over, he ended up playing with him.
What do you mean?
Cleveland was beating the shit out of him. Ron Harper ended up being his teammate.
Yeah and no. Ron Harper was brought in to try to replace Jordan. Ron Harper was just a shell of himself. So it's not like the same Ron Harper that played for Cleveland.
He was brought in to do what?
To replace Jordan. That was the year that Ron Harper was brought in 94.
Nigga ended up getting Robin. They get Pippen for peanuts.
In 94, he came to replace Jordan. No, oh, you're talking about he came
yeah,
when
he
was
playing
when Jordan
was
gone. Was
going away from basketball.
Right, okay.
Came in 94, 95, one of them 2 years. He was brought in to be the starting two guard. So that's what I mean by that.
Okay, I got you.
I'm just saying that was just interesting.
But he was a shell of himself, like I say.
This is interesting. This is interesting. Yeah. I don't want you to yell.
I don't think the Robin thing translates the same way, though. It's not like.
No, Robin was on his way out. Those was his last 3 years.
I don't think. No, he played after that.
Who did he go to after the 98?
I think he played in Dallas, and then he went to the Lakers. He won in L.A. too.
Did he win in L.A.?
He won in L.A.
Who?
Rodman.
Dennis? Rodman, I don't think he finished the season with L.A. I know Harper went and won in L.A. too.
Dennis was done after 98. I
no,
know
he played
ain't
for L.A. for sure. I don't think he finished the season.
He was not.
So, and do you give Collins any credit for basically, like, this is going to be my replacement any day now. Like, you're watching him get.
No, because I don't give him credit only because of what he did, or at least what the documentary said he did as far as, you know, Tex Winter or whatever. So if you did that to that coach, then basically what you did was defiant and, you know, you saying you don't give a fuck.
As great as the triangle was, Tex Winter had an ass record in the league as a head coach.
Yeah, that's why some people are better.
He was the coach of the Rockets before, after college.
That's why some people are better as assistants, because, you know, they can't communicate with their players enough to be a head coach.
That's why I always used to put – well, I still do put Greg Popovich as the greatest coach in the NBA, the history of the NBA. But I don't think – the knock on Phil is Phil always has superstars, right? Mm-hmm. But watching this documentary, like, nigga, these niggas was head cases. All of them.
I still put Phil up there because people could say, oh, Phil has superstars.
And he had them praying like elephants and shit.
What the superstars did when Phil wasn't there.
I think I would pick Phil based on, to me, being a head coach in the NBA is more about managing personalities.
Yeah.
More so than X's and O's. I think you delegate your X's and O's to your assistant coaches. Yeah. The head coach is more so responsible with managing personalities. So I think with the group, I think the thing with the Spurs,
I think Greg Popovich, in my opinion, did more with less.
I think Greg Popovich always had control of what players were going to be in his system. They always had character guys. They always pride themselves on getting guys that fit the Spurs system. Especially if we're talking about this last season, Phil Jackson didn't know what the fuck was going on. Like, I had to deal with Jerry Cross. I had to deal with Rodman wanting a fucking vacation. Like, he had to deal with all these different things just to manage it and put it all together. That makes him the greatest.
Knowing that that's going to be his last year no matter what he did. Yeah. On top of that, he didn't even have to give a fuck that year, but he still gave it his all.
And you know what I mean? Because if you look at that Popovich, he's never had a player. Other than Kawhi, he's never had a headache. He's never had a headache as a player. Like, all the guys that
– Steven Jackson.
Maybe I was just about to say Steven Jackson. Other than that, all the guys fit his system. Like, I have control over who's going to actually be on my roster. So, all these guys have to have a certain type of personality to play for me. Phil Jackson didn't have that kind of control.
Always had the
and was it reported that Kawhi was a headache before they mismanaged his injury?
No, but he became a headache. I'm just saying he never, other than the Kawhi situation and Steven Jackson, he didn't, and maybe the Tony Parker scandal with Brent Barry's wife. He didn't have these kind of headaches.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, nigga.
I don't know why Phil would get less credit because of the players that play for him.
Because what I'm saying is, like, for whatever system Phil had, right, where we know it was the triangle. Yeah. But whatever system it was, he would always be discredited because he always had the greatest players in the league.
Yeah,
but when he didn't, he would stop coaching.
When he had Shaq and Kobe, them niggas didn't even get along. He had to make
that
work.
Yeah, but shit, you could put them in any system and still
together. But at the same time, they wasn't winning. And they had, what, 4 years with each other before Phil came? You know what I'm saying? When you're talking about that 98 Laker team, you're talking Nicky V, Eddie Jones, Kobe, Shaq, all on the same team.
But you got to think, Dale Harris didn't – I don't think Dale Harris really fucked with Kobe like that.
But what I'm saying is that's what I mean when you talking about, you know, Phil and giving Phil his credit. The Lakers didn't win until Phil got there. Phil left. The Lakers didn't win again until Phil got there. You see what I'm saying? So, it's you got to give Phil his credit. You know what I'm saying?
And he did come back. He did come back when it was just Kobe.
Yeah.
And he did have to work with the Smush Parkers and the Kwame Browns.
Yep.
So, you got to give him credit for that,
too. Yeah, you got to give him credit. That's the only reason why I say you got to give Phil his credit. The players that's on the team is one thing, but he helped get the
– And
the
so, again, with narratives, and this is the thing I just don't like about documentaries. Like, you have – you got to have a villain. You got to have an amazing story. You got to have all of these things that kind of take away from the truth. And in my opinion, it takes away from actually calling it a documentary.
Wait, so who was the villain? Because it wasn't Krause. They mentioned Krause briefly, but they didn't.
Krause is still. Because even with Krause, right, the little part he had in episode 4 damn near took the breath out of the goddamn room anyways. Like, no matter what you niggas do, it's over after this.
And if Michael Jordan don't want to play, then Michael Jordan's ass is out of here, too.
It's like, shit.
That's tough.
Shit, this is simple writing. That's what the fuck you supposed to have. You need a villain.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Like,
This is how this is simple writing for anything.
Episodes like, 1 and 2 like really focused on it. Like 3 and 4 didn't really focus on Krause.
But the small part he had stood the fuck out. Like, y'all didn't win, y'all got over that hurdle.
Yeah,
don't
forget, hey nigga, yo,
this shit is over.
Yeah, by three, you know he the villain. Like, I don't need to keep telling y'all. You know who the villain is now.
My thing is, everybody was running with this Robin Vegas story. That was trash.
Why?
Because Jordan never flew to fucking Vegas. Like, it made for a great story, but he didn't fly to Vegas.
But that wasn't the point of the story.
They didn't say
the
Jordan
point of the story
Vegas,
was that they in said the middle
Jordan
of the season.
They pieced it to where
it looked like Jordan.
It looked like Jordan flew to Vegas, but he never flew to Vegas.
I didn't get that part. I must wasn't paying no
but
attention.
But like I said, it still wasn't the point that they were trying to make is that, you know, at that point they were trying to make a Phil understands Rodman, you know, narrative basically. And the point they were trying to make was Rodman being an integral part of this team was allowed in the middle of the season to take a couple days to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's all that, you know, that's all.
And came back on one accord, but they pieced the story to where you felt like Jordan flew to Vegas, knocked on his door.
They did.
Grabbed him out and had to fly him back to Chicago.
I never seen that part.
Oh, it's up there. It's there.
It is pieced together to seem that way.
Yeah, but like
he said
to me, that
he asked to leave for 48 hours. He left 48 hours, and he was back. Where is the piece that
they didn't state that he had came back? It was just was like he was in Vegas, and then next thing you know, Michael Jordan's knocking on the door.
Yeah,
like they didn't make a distinction that Robin had actually returned.
Jordan said he only left for 48 hours, and he came back.
What they're saying is that at the end of the story, it seemed like Vegas, like Jordan had to go to Vegas to get Rodman. They didn't say that Rodman flew back to Chicago and Jordan went and got Rodman out of his apartment in Chicago.
They said nothing.
Across the street from the fucking arena.
Yeah. The way it was edited, it seemed like it was one continuous story.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
That was trash.
I didn't get that.
But okay. You'll never get nothing.
I didn't see that. When Jordan said he left for 48 hours and he came back, that was enough for me. I didn't need to pay attention to how Jordan just said he left for 48 hours, he came back. He asked for 48 hours, he took it, he came back in 48 hours.
Yeah.
He didn't think he was going to come back, he did.
And we got to give Rodman his props. Robin is an underrated cocksman.
Niggas tried to put him up there. They tried to take like Jeter off, and I'm like,
no, I'm not taking Jeter off. I might take off.
They tried to put Robin's name in the conversation. I'm like,
Robin's up there though. He got a prime. He got a prime Karma Electra. Electra.
My goodness,
she still look good.
Boy, my goodness.
And I don't even like.
You don't like pink nipples?
I don't even like it.
I do. Carmen Electra looked good.
Carmen Electra, you had a prime Toni Braxton.
Nah, he had a whack version of Toni. After Toni grew that hair out, she was trash.
Oh, you wow.
Only pixie cut Toni is make the cut.
He had Madonna in her prime.
I don't know if she ever had a prime.
But niggas
who didn't have Madonna.
I think that was the point.
He had Pamela Anderson though. I believe
he's a cocksmith, bro. He up there.
None of them was better than Carmen, though.
Nah,
Carmen still looked good.
Carmen was bad.
I let her smear makeup all over me. Show me them soggy chin, baby.
That's one of the stories. Bow Wow
still
the
goat, though. But
who?
Bow Wow. Bow
Nah, that's Nick, nigga. Nick Cannon is the goat.
Or King Ray J.
Nick Cannon is the goat.
Boy, we talking some. Now we talking rivalries around this bitch.
Nick Cannon and Leonardo DiCaprio are the greatest cocksmiths in the history of entertainment.
Who Leo had?
I know he had Rihanna.
Leo had all the bitches.
I can't think of who else he
Leo
had.
Tan ass had all the bitches. Leo and Nick Cannon.
I don't know. If you believe Entourage is based on a true story, I think Mark Wahlberg was running through this motherfucker too a little bit.
He might. But from my knowledge,
Entourage is based on a true
story. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how far they deviate.
From my knowledge, Leo and Nick Cannon are the greatest cocksmiths.
Hey, man. Only one of these niggas turned a whole family into millionaires. Only one nigga did it.
Ray J.
King Ray J.
Facts.
Yeah, but Ray J ain't got no. He ain't got the catalog.
Who? Why? He don't.
I don't know. His is like Kids Bop compared to Nick Cannon.
Ray J damn near hit everybody.
And Nick Cannon
hit.
Smacked Kardashian already.
Yeah, but he didn't turn into a household name, though.
Yeah. Ray J damn near knocked down everybody. Nick Cannon them knocked down.
They probably was all fucking
Ray
the same.
Ray J, Nick Cannon, and Bow Wow was all fucking the same.
Man, female. Nick Cannon got these hoes out here with Aladdin beanies on, baby.
Hey, yeah, yeah, y'all be real disrespectful to Shad Moss right now, too.
Nah. I mean, Shad Moss got a nice little lineup.
He got a Joey Chavis? Esther Baxter? He lost his virginity. Esther Baxter, nigga.
Like,
come on, man. Freakily. Freakily Esther Baxter? Freakily Esther Baxter.
Hey, so... Yeah, they say Madonna, you know, shout out to Madonna, man. Madonna was on her Erykah Ooh. Badu shit back in the day, man.
Lil Wayne either. That's disrespectful. We'll keep going. You don't like Lil Wayne lineup? No?
No, I got
Hell no.
What?
I got the baddest he got is like Christina Milian.
Yeah, Laura London.
Laura London. Even his baby mama fine shit.
Nobody became nothing. So fuck it. It don't matter.
I said King Ray J, but you know.
Nobody from nobody that That hey we man, know shout of out. That nigga hey didn't man, look, matter.
Shout out to the homie Nip, man.
Outside of Trina.
It still didn't get Laura London nothing but a BET movie. That's fucked up, bro.
So disrespectful. She got the Marathon Continues line at Puma, man.
Hey.
Are they coming back with an ATL 2 too, right?
Nigga, they are they for what?
She got ATL and a BET movie.
They better not be doing ATL.
Man, that shit is
I
over.
Hope they come with a second ATL.
Why?
I like the movie.
Man, can we get back to this doc? Y'all tell us something.
Hey, so yeah, man. Shout out to Madonna, man. Giving Robin, man, his courage, man. Yeah. Dye his hair and shit.
Let that nigga out. Nah, not just dye his hair. He let that nigga all the way out that closet.
Robin ain't gay though, is he?
I wouldn't. If I heard that he was fucking with a man, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't be like, oh my god, that's so left field. Like I'd be like,
Yeah, I think. You know, looking at his story, I think Dennis Rodman just needed, I don't want to say a father figure, but someone that he can just lean on, that he respect and trusted.
Phil.
I know his dad had like 20-something kids.
Jesus.
Yeah, his dad had like 24 kids, some shit like that. 20-something. And he never had that, you know, that father figure. And I think it came out when Scotty returned. Because it's like he turned into like this... Just the jealous sibling.
Yeah.
Like, when Scotty came back, he checked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were alluding to the fact that he liked having more responsibility. Like, having Jordan lean on him, like, I need you to win these games. And then, that's when the vacation came up.
And that's crazy because that's one of the things I actually remember from that season was them saying how Scotty and Dennis wasn't meshing on the court at the time.
That's crazy.
Is it crazy how Scotty ain't even in the conversation when they speak on his first few years with the Bulls? Like, they don't really speak on Scotty until you get to Phil Jackson.
I think Scotty was drafted, bless you. Scotty was drafted in like 87. Phil came in 88, 89. So he wasn't there that long.
I think Scotty was good, but he just wasn't built like.
Scotty had two years under Doug Collins, right?
I think so.
You can tell.
He was focused towards that, Jordan, though, so. Pippen wouldn't have, you know, grown that much on
I'm just
duck.
Saying he wasn't a conversation until Phil get there. Until Phil got there.
And then, you know, another interesting part of this documentary was when they brought up the migraine in Jordan's facial expression. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And I do feel, I think Scotty checked out from getting his ass beat. Mm-hmm. I think he checked. But also, credit to him. His dad did die, like, I think a couple days before, I believe so.
Mm.
A couple days before or a couple weeks, something like that. But I would have rather you ran with the, you know, I'm grieving. My pops just passed away versus the migraine. Because Jordan Face told it all.
Yeah.
Who was it? Him and Horace Grant was like 3-for-17 for that game or some shit like that.
Mm.
He was doing horribly. John Selly rode with Pippen through all that shit. Every time he bring up something about Pippen, he was like, "Yeah, it's hard when you can't see." This nigga is a Pippen.
And then I just don't, you know, going back to the Bad Boys and the Bulls, right? I just think the Bad Boy Pistons get too much of the blame. Like, you can't fucking tell me that the nigga Horace Grant called these niggas bitches, and that was the first time they said something disrespectful.
First time, who said something disrespectful?
I don't think none of them niggas really got that kind of heart until they start lifting them weights. I think the nigga just took them L's. When they had the Pippen episode, when he first got to the Bulls, the first thing you see is Charles Oakley smacking the shit out of Pippen right in his face. Yeah, that's wild.
I think Isaiah would have smacked all them niggas if he came down.
Isaiah wasn't that kind of nigga. Pippen was a hoe. Like, Pippen was just scary ass nigga.
This is my opinion. When it comes to Jordan and Isaiah, right, I just feel like too much was going back and forth. Jordan froze Isaiah out of...
Reverse that.
No. Isaiah froze Jordan out of the All-Star game.
Yes.
Jordan froze Isaiah out of...
The Dream Team.
That's some unforgivable shit. Yeah. That's unforgivable.
That's how you bust back, nigga.
I mean,
how you dump back.
From what I was told today, this is a big decision.
Christian, what's his name? Christian Laettner?
Yeah.
He should have had no business on that fucking team.
That should have been Shaq's spot. Because they at the time, they would take.
But that was Christian Laettner coming fresh out of Duke. So,
yeah.
You know,
They were taking a college player, but Shaq was.
Yeah.
Anyway. How am I supposed to feel? Like, first of all, because from my understanding, it was Jordan and Pippen. So if Jordan and Pippen both were like, we not playing if he playing. And I heard Karl Malone was on the same wave. So that's three niggas. Not only was y'all beating the shit out of us, but when we finally beat you niggas, y'all didn't even shake our hand. Like, nigga, get the fuck out of here.
I was talking to Wifey, and I said, you know, it's in my opinion, right? And this is outside of some basketball is included, but this outside some basketball shit, right? So say coming out of college, I'm supposed to be this prodigal son type shit, right?
Right.
I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Chicago. Nigga, I should have been a Bull.
Okay.
And this nigga comes in and just completely takes over. Like, Jordan... Niggas was thinking Jordan was from Chicago.
Yeah.
But I'm from Chicago. I'm killing too.
I think he had that kind of love until the Bad Boy Pistons incident. Just the whole Bad Boy Pistons image started to take place.
I just can't. I call myself a bad boy, right?
Okay.
I call myself.
Well, no, I just want to see where this going.
No, no. I call myself a bad boy. I'm a bad boy piston, right? Boy. Like Ant said, I'm known for whooping y'all ass, right?
No,
no, I'm saying.
Going nowhere.
The media say, I'm known. Life. This team is whooping everybody's ass, right?
Right.
I just can't see, and I don't know if I would respect back then if all of a sudden niggas. I'm gonna shake that persona off, and I'm just gonna be shaking y'all. How you doing,
no, nigga? I shook your hand. Y'all been whooping our ass. I've been shaking your hand after these ass whoopings every day. Like, you didn't knock me out,
but
damn
you
nigga.
Call me. You say, I'm glad that the championship is going to be out of this town. They're lesser than. They don't play. They don't play basketball in the way it should be played. You saying all this shit? And I'm supposed to shake your fucking hand?
You punched me in the mouth.
You niggas was with my ass.
I think what they showed at the end with how Magic lost to the Bulls versus how Pistons, I think that's the actual, you know what I'm saying, the polar opposite.
You know what I'm saying?
Magic say you're going to lose anybody, you lose to the best, Jordan's the best, so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? And the Pistons actually having that claim over being able to say we beat Jordan twice. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, like I say, Jordan say we walked off and shook their hands. I think, you know, the Pistons owed them that, but, you know.
But we made references to the 30 for 30 documentary. In the 30 for 30 documentary, they talked about how Isaiah Thomas was a beloved figure. He was one of the beloved figures in the NBA until this situation happened.
I just think.
Rightfully so.
Just think because they embrace it and they continue to embrace the bad boy image, even when they do. So I've been listening to Isaiah talk, right? And I feel what he's saying. The problem is, I feel like Isaiah Thomas isn't a great storyteller. So even when he's telling his story, and it may be truthful, it still comes off as...
You're an asshole.
You're an asshole. And then...
And he's sexually harassing motherfuckers.
I'm watching ESPN today, right? I'm watching ESPN today, and nigga, Isaiah Thomas damn near... Look like nigga was about to start crying. Like, I'm I'm very hurt. Like, the only thing on my resume that I don't have is a gold medal that they took from me, right? And so they take him off, and immediately they put on Bill Laimbeer. And Bill Laimbeer like, nigga, fuck them niggas.
No, Bill Laimbeer was with the shit.
I don't regret nothing.
That's what I'm saying. That's the that was the perception. Bill Laimbeer came in the league on some, I don't give a fuck. I'm a rich white boy. He came from privilege. Like, this is
that ended up being his thing altogether. Remember, he had the video game. Bill Laimbeer video game was him
fighting and shit.
You fight a motherfucker, push a person off the ball, and all this shit. Like, that ended up just being his shit. Like, and he rolled with that.
But Isaiah Thomas wasn't looked at like that initially. I think that's what the part that's so hard for Isaiah Thomas to swallow. Like, yeah, I embraced this bad boy Pistons image, and it won me 2 championships. But at the end, it cost me a lot more than it got me.
I think maybe at this point, I think maybe someone else should tell Isaiah's story, not Isaiah. As fucked up as that sounds, because he comes off as kind of.
But he's in a hard place.
I think his story gonna be there regardless, and because at the point when he was like reaching his pinnacle and shit, mm-hmm. Bulls as far as Jordan was damn near the logo of the NBA. Yeah. Your team is finna fuck off our money. The media part of the NBA have to make him the villain because the team that you a part of, team that you a part of, Michael Jordan is running the league right now, and this is our money right now. Like, Michael Jordan is our money right now, and the team that you a part of is damn near trying to injure him. Y'all say like, we didn't give a fuck. Y'all pulling him out the air and throwing him to the ground.
I don't think Michael Jordan. I think he was the face of the league, but I don't think he was at the point where he was saving the league yet. I think they still were. Bad. I think they were still using the
Magic. He was on that trajectory.
He was on the cusp for sure. Yeah. I think they were still going off the Celtics and the Lakers rivalry because Magic and Bird were both still playing at the time. So I think
But Jordan was the next up and coming person.
I don't know at that point if when Jordan was going against the Pistons, if Jordan the brand was bigger than Jordan dunking. And I think his dunking was the trajectory in which the league was going. Jordan didn't become just this motherfucking monster brand until...
No, I think his brand was there. At that time, you had already had early 90s? Hella accolades. You still had the
Spike Lee commercials.
You already had MVPs. You had a defensive player of the year. You had dunk contests, which you say. You had the 63-point game. You had the 69-point game all the way... Before this,
got him being the MVP of a playoffs while losing.
I don't think his brand
until he won a championship.
Yeah, I don't know if his brand was solidified in 91 as it was. It would be in like 95, 96.
I think him winning in 91 and then going.
But 91 was the flash to me.
I think by him winning in 91 and then 92 and then going to the Olympics in 92 took Michael Jordan's brand to a different. I think that's when Jam came out in 92.
Olympics probably brung it up a whole nother notch. But as far as nationally, Jordan was already there to me before then.
Yeah,
I think so.
And also shout out to the Pistons for coming up with the Jordan rules. And maybe it's just be.
Stick and say shout out.
Yeah, I'm shouting them out because it's something else they kind of. I mean, it's something else that they kind of came with that teams still use to this day. And
how so?
So Jordan wasn't good going at his left. Was it his left?
They prefer him to go to his left. Yeah.
So they knew when he go to his left, he's going to pull. I mean, he's going to take 2 dribbles, probably pull up. Yeah. He go to his right.
He went to the hole.
No, he goes to his right. He's taking 3 dribbles. He's pulling up. He hits baseline. It's night-night, nigga.
Okay.
So they were, before he gets to the baseline, we're going to trap him.
And we're going to push his ass out of bounds.
If he hits the middle, the rules itself was very simple. The rules itself was very simple. And I witnessed the Spurs do it against Phoenix when they were letting... They were letting Amari Stoudemire go off for like almost 50 a game. But everyone else was locked down.
Yeah.
He had all the possessions. We're going to let him do his thing. We can't stop him. Mm-hmm.
The NBA did that.
But we're going to shut everybody else around him down. And that's basically what the Jordan rules were, except they knew he was going to take tough mid-range shots. So he was going to fill up the box. He was going to fill up the stat sheet on shot attempts. Mm. They were going to shut everybody else down, and they were going to make him pass it. And he wasn't a great passer at that time.
Yeah.
He wasn't a great passer. So after that, I mean, the rules itself was very simple. The problem was, again,
that's not the way they explain the rules on this one. That's probably how they explain
it. No, hold on. Hold up. I'm saying if you read the rules on what they really had Jordan do, they were all they were doing was doubling and trapping.
I don't think that's necessarily a Jordan rule. I think it was,
that's not the way they explained it on this one.
Okay, y'all, you gonna let me finish?
Go ahead.
All they were really doing was doubling and trapping, and when he goes left and right, they're reading it. And then they're shutting everybody else around. They're shutting everyone else down around him with the shots they have. When you read what they're actually doing, it's simple. The problem is, again, when I was talking about Isaiah telling his story, is when you hear it from the actual players.
Yeah, but the coach got on there and explained it too.
It comes off as if y'all is out there whooping this dude's ass.
The coach said that, though. The coach, I can't think of the coach's name, but he
Chuck Daly.
No, it wasn't Chuck Daly. That's not who was on the documentary. I'm talking about the coach who actually spoke. He was a Pistons assistant. He was like, we have to hit him. If we're going to hit him, we have to hit him before he takes
the fight. That's the rules of the game today. You don't – if you're going to foul –
That was the Jordan rule. Like,
no, what I'm saying.
We can't let him leave. Once he leaves the ground, we're at his mercy.
It's night-night, nigga. I'm saying the rule is always, you play basketball too, if you're going to foul them hard. Don't foul them so they can make the bucket.
Absolutely.
But what I'm saying is, when you hear some of the bad boy Piston players like Lambeer describe the Jordan rules, instead of just saying, look, X's and O's, this is what. So when you listening to, when you watch the 30 for 30 ESPN documentary, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's where you had to get that from, because we didn't get that.
No. No. When you watch you can look up the Jordan rules and they tell you exactly what it is.
I seen something on Lambeer earlier
today. But when you on the 30 for 30 documentary, when they were talking about the Jordan rules, and when Isaiah was talking about it, and at this point, if I'm Isaiah, I might have a certain way about Lambeer. But when Isaiah was talking about it, he was giving you from the X's and O's perspective.
Okay.
He was like, damn, this shit right here is, wow, they really had something. And then when you hear Lambeer, put him on his ass. Put him on his ass. Put him on his ass. And that's why I'm saying, it's like, while you got something good, y'all fucking up your own story. When the perception is already out there.
Nigga, how is they fucking up their story when they telling what they said in the locker room? Like, I don't think that's fucking up my story. This is what we said to each other. Put Jordan on his ass. Don't let him leave the ground.
Which is basically what the
whatever rules was written up. Fine, y'all wrote them up, but this is what we saying when we get on this court. This is how we're going to go about this. These are the rules, but this way we taking it.
If he's
on his ass like that, that's not them fucking up their story. That's them giving you their story. This is how this is what we was talking about.
I don't think Isaiah Thomas has any position that he could take where, you know, he comes out, you know, looking good. Basically, he looks negatively no matter what, because if you are Isaiah Thomas today, where he's trying to give Jordan credit, you look like you a salty person who couldn't give him credit back in the day but got no problem giving today. Mm-hmm. But if you still don't give Jordan credit, you look like you salty because you're talking about the greatest ever. You see what I'm saying?
Annoyed.
So, like, he has no winning position.
Again,
at all.
It goes to, I feel like someone else should be telling his story.
But I don't think – I didn't take it for that. Like, Jordan made it seem like that, and since this is a Bulls doc, that's the way they got to perceive it. But I think, like – ultimately, me thinking of Isaiah Thomas, like, without all the shit, I think of him as a great player. Like, he was still a great player. I think a lot of people, when you just hear them talk about it,
he got to be top three.
When you hear people talk about Isaiah on ESPN, they still says he was a great player. When they really speak of the bad boys, they speak of the Lambeer, the Rodman, the other players. He wasn't the aggressive player. He wasn't the one really beating your ass.
He wasn't.
He was the one scoring buckets and maneuvering and making sure the team won. Y'all whooped their ass, but I'm finna get these buckets so we can get this win. I think that's the way that they describe
walk off. It's that walk off. Like, look, and he ducks behind Lambeer.
That duck off looked real janky as fuck.
But then it still looked like he was just following his teammates. It don't seem like they was like, he said, this is what they said, and I moved with them.
If that's your fault, but see, that's on him if he let that be his final position. You see what I'm saying? Don't give Jordan credit when it's too late to give him credit. You know what I'm saying? Get that man credit when you're going against him. And, you know, I don't think Jordan would dislike, you know, Isaiah today the way they still do dislike each other if Isaiah would have gave him actual credit. That's all Jordan was looking for was, you know, okay, I got past you. Give me that credit.
Nigga, we already got beef. Fuck you.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
It's fuck you.
Said like, too
I think,
much, bro.
I think this is the time that you
too
say
much
that.
Has been
like,
said. Yeah.
I think at this time when you're older, this is the time you can say that. Like, but at the time of beef, like nigga, if I'm beefing with you, it's beef.
Ain't
fuck
beef
you.
Is basketball. That's the
fuck you until I'm old, nigga. It's fuck you until I get old enough to be like, oh yeah.
Fuck the ball, nigga. I'm picking up the clock, nigga.
That's true to the streets, nigga. But this is basketball. That's the problem.
I think what hurt Isaiah is the Pistons never got a chance to redeem themselves after they lost. That yeah. So that's the final time we see Isaiah in that form. Like after you, this is the last time we see you at a great position, you're losing and you walking off like a sore loser.
No, he still he came back. He did all right the next year. Was it the year after that he like the broke his the Achilles
Pistons.
Or some shit?
We're talking about the Pistons were Pistons. Irrelevant.
Oh no, they were done.
So you didn't get a chance to redeem yourself as like as a winner again. Like to me that was your swan song. Like yeah, you played for a few more years, but you never got back to that pinnacle. You were never the same player. You were never revered ever again. So that hurt him.
And to speak on you know what Spence was saying as far as, you know, what the Pistons had designed to do as far as shut everybody else down and, you know what I'm saying, you know, force Jordan to score or whatever, I think the documentary spoke to how the Bulls would have been built going forward. Once at the end when they were talking about against the Lakers, they, you know, pass the ball to Paxson open, he'd kill him, so on and so forth. I think the Lakers took the wrong approach as far as, you know, trying to stop Jordan. And from then on, it was like, okay, I trust my teammates.
By them speaking on that, it kind of made Jordan a god. Yeah. Like, it kind of turned Jordan into, like, the Hercules or somebody like that. It made him kind of a god because now Jordan is like – he never did weights. He's never did weight conditioning or nothing like that. So
damn,
now
he was only 30 in 91.
Who, Jordan?
No, oh, Isaiah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now Jordan starts to lift weights, get stronger, understands the strength part of the game and not just the athleticism.
But I'm talking like to where how like when you go back to 98, if you look on paper, motherfuckers go back, oh, you know, the outside of Jordan Pippen, the Bulls were terrible on paper. And what I'm saying is that no, they had great role players who understood their roles. And from that point on, the team was built. Okay, this is your role. This is your role because you can identify each person from the first three-peat team to the second three-peat team that had the exact same role. You see what I'm saying? Kerr played Paxson's role. You know, like I say, Horace Grant. You know, or you know, Rodman played Horace Grant's role, so on and so forth. So,
hey man, outside of basketball, I think Michael Jordan is a bitch ass nigga, man.
Oh man, what? Mm.
That shit on the plane was janky, bro.
Talk about it.
If y'all see him with one woman, if y'all see him with one woman.
Oh, that was some hoe ass shit.
That was some hoe ass shit, bro. That bitch ass nigga, I hit you in them yellow ass, little boosy ass eyes, nigga.
That was some hoe ass shit. I would have punched him in his mouth.
Because, dude, I don't even remember his name.
Scott Burrell.
That nigga was so. Turn that off, please.
Because I think he said, like, I got a wife or something. Like, I got.
Like, come on, man.
I don't think he was married. Because I think that's what Jordan was saying.
Or he had a woman. He had a woman that he was trying to take serious at the time or something. And Jordan kept on saying, you know, the single man on here.
That's a hater ass nigga. You bitch ass.
I would have blasted. Man, look, I would have been a bitch ass nigga with him. What? As soon as he would have said that, let's talk about the white women you fucking out here, Jordan.
Yeah, right.
While we on this motherfucking camera,
nigga, you wouldn't have made it back to Chicago.
Well, my mama, I would have. Nigga, I'd have said some disrespect, bitch ass nigga. That's why you fucking Michael Jackson.
Y'all don't under.
Nigga, they had to pull that plane over in Gary, Indiana. Let your bitch ass right out.
We could say that, but we don't know their relationship.
I know the real meaning for jam, nigga.
No, regardless of the relationship, we on camera.
Oh, ass nickel.
We on camera. Whatever.
Yeah, that's some whole
jokes.
Shit.
Whatever shit I talk about when we ain't on camera and it ain't getting filmed or something like that's that, that's cool. Shit. But once you get on camera, like us, once we on this mic, man, we on this mic. I'm not finna do no whole ass shit. That was some whole ass
shit. That was some whole shit. It was.
That for sure was some whole shit. I was like, fuck.
And he talking about when he walked into his teammates' room.
That wasn't wrong, though. That part wasn't
wrong. Man, look.
No, you could just say one of them years. You know what I'm saying? I walked in my teammates' room and
nigga, I'm a rookie.
Rookie year, nigga. You know, nigga, all you got to do is go to.
He's speaking of it along. It's been 40 years. You know what I'm saying?
That part is different.
That's different.
I was a rookie. But
he said y'all not gonna like him. He already told y'all.
He's a bitch ass nigga for that Sam.
But man, I ain't got nothing else, man. I do want
to part four.
Yeah, nigga, we flew through that shit, nigga.
That's crazy.
Oh, we ain't really talk much about Phil, but it's all good.
Underrated cocksmith.
The Phil was like, nigga, you went to church and you was an Indian and a hippie.
He said he didn't ask it though.
You ain't gonna speak on Phil shit. getting blown right now.
Probably.
You gonna speak on him being in getting a championship when he did get in the lead his little NBA year? Like he's still.
Oh man, shout out to he coaching in Cuba and shit and snakes all on the basketball court and shit, man. Shout out to Phil, man.
I thought that was Puerto Rico. Did they say Puerto Rico?
Yeah, nigga cutting off chicken heads and shit. Yeah.
I'm mad at the way y'all speeding past my boy Phil, man. But that's about all that happened.
What the fuck nigga was in Wyoming? Did you listen to Kanye album when he was bumping that motherfucking bang?
Montana, man. It was in Wyoming, Montana.
Shit, what up? Shit. Both of them got the KKK. Before we do get out of here, I just want to say, now, looking at this so far in this documentary, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Kobe, Drake Jordan, bro.
Wait, say that again.
You think he what?
I keep hearing that five is they're gonna speak on Kobe.
You know how Drake usually takes niggas' styles and perfect it.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what Kobe did to Jordan.
Yeah, I would say that.
And
too,
the reason I do say that is because Kobe got to be happy at the end of when it was all said and done.
Uh-huh. Okay,
I put everything on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with it.
Absolutely.
Kobe was happy. I still don't see that from Jordan. It still seems like, I don't know, man. I look at Jordan and I just be like,
Kobe played longer though. He played more years.
But not only that, you got to go back 20 years before, you know, to even get to the last Jordan W. Remember, Jordan been taking L's as a fucking team owner for years, you know, just terrible last teams, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of, you know, affects Jordan's legacy negatively.
He just don't look happy. Like, it's being called the GOAT. Was it worth what you put yourself through?
I don't think he's not happy, but shit, a lot of shit happened after Jordan leaving. He had the scandal with his wife, all that. Like, Kobe dealt with the shit within the league. Jordan, after he left the lead, he got the cheating on his wife, his wife suing him, trying to take his money. He got all that nigga, my life after the lead was fucking rough. Yeah. It was good when I was there. After the lead, I wasn't the thing. With Kobe, within the lead, a lot of people hated me. My last few years, y'all started to love me. After the lead, the world loves me. Yes. Jordan is not the same. When you left the league, niggas don't like you. Niggas don't like you for the shit that's happening behind your shoes. Yeah. Niggas don't like Jordan. They loved him when he was in the league.
He's just not a likable. I don't think he's a likable person. And I just feel like it's being called the GOAT worth it. To me, it's unfortunate with what happened, but Kobe really rolled off into the sunset and didn't have to look back.
I think it's different because Kobe played 20 straight years. Kobe announced at the beginning of the season, like, this is my last year. My body can't continue to take this. Like, I know he ate bone broth every day, which is like a special kind of soup. And they would like actually, I guess it helped with the recovery of his body. Like, they would fly this shit to the different hotels he was staying in when he was on the road. So, like, Kobe's body had broken down. So, he really was like, I'm at peace with what I've accomplished. Like, I know this is my farewell tour. My body is done. Like, I'm looking forward to recovering my body. Jordan didn't play 20 years straight.
And I wouldn't even say Kobe rolled off into the sunset. Kobe, when did Kobe retire? What, 2017?
I think.
I want to say?
So,
2017.
16.
16 or 17. You know, he hadn't, you know, done shit for 5 years before then. You see what I'm saying? His last championship was 2010. So I would say the game retired Kobe rather than, I would say Jordan retired from the game. The game retired Kobe.
I think they both retired at around. No, Kobe was older when he retired. Again, yeah. But again, Jordan played from 84 to 98 was 14 years. He took off a year and a half of that to pursue the other shit.
Yeah.
So he really only put 12 years in the basketball.
Yeah.
Compared to 20, like, that's a big difference. Like, yeah. that's why he came back, because he still felt like, I have something in the tank. Kobe didn't have – I don't have to get – I won without Shaq. I think that was the big thing for Kobe. When Kobe when Shaq left, Kobe's thing was to prove I can win without Shaq.
Yeah.
So once I did that, I don't have anything else left to accomplish. My place in the game is solidified. Yeah.
Jordan came back to get them revenues for the Wizards. You know what I'm saying? They just didn't know that – he didn't know that if he came back, he was going to lose his minority stake in the team. But I think Jordan fucked off his legacy by coming back. Like, that was the coldest way you could have ever left the sport.
He still put up crazy numbers for 45.
He still scored 20, but he
averaged like 25 or some shit.
Was he 40? He was 40, right?
Like 40.
Yeah, he put up crazy numbers for that, though.
I think numbers. No.
He was dropping like 45 on niggas.
He was saying no.
Bing, bang, bing.
Crazy numbers, no.
Give a nigga. Tell me another nigga that was dropping numbers like that at 40.
He still put up good numbers. But he was a shell of himself. So.
He was. I think the thing, it more so hurt his stature with the next generation of players. Yeah. Like, niggas came back and like, Jordan an ass. Like, I've idolized Jordan from afar, but like now up close, I think these niggas an asshole. Fuck Jordan.
Yeah. I just think his legacy would have been that much more, you know. But then he got 98 was a drop the mic moment.
Then he got the players that still showed him the love. Like, Iverson felt like that about Jordan, but Kobe loved him.
But they both played against Jordan, real Jordan.
That's what I'm saying. I think Iverson felt a certain way towards Jordan. Like, Iverson was like, fuck this nigga, he's an asshole. Like, I admired this nigga my whole life. And then when I got to meet him, he was a piece of shit. Yeah. So Iverson didn't really feel for Jordan once he met him.
Yeah.
But Kobe felt like, this is everything I've been wanting, and he still
got what he wanted. It seems like Kobe turned into the real OG when he retired. Like, he became the go to. He was the player that everyone looked up to.
I think because he had those, once he retired, he had those relationships with the players. I don't think he had those relationship players as he played. But I think it's
more to do with how the game changed. Is how the game nowadays is all everybody's friends, so on and so forth. And Kobe just didn't have that mentality. So when these players going at Kobe, when these players were saying, "Oh yeah, I look up to Kobe," I think they were admiring, you know, that killer instinct, that will to want to win, that they don't really see today from other players. Everybody's buddy.
But Kobe also took on a mentorship league position with those players. Like, they say Kyrie was one of the most hurt people when Kobe died, because he actually worked with Kyrie. He would text Kyrie. Like, he worked with these players after.
Yeah, no, I'm saying afterwards. That's what I'm saying. But
I don't think Jordan had that relationship with anybody outside of Kobe.
No, at all.
Shit, definitely not. I think Iverson and Jordan were complete opposites of the spectrum. Like, Jordan was the old guard. You know, he wore suits. I'm a Nike guy. Mm-hmm. Iverson came in, I'm a Reebok guy. First of all, I didn't cross your ass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm coming in with the tattoos, the cornrows. Like, I embrace hip-hop more. But
Iverson's game wasn't tailored towards anything that Jordan did either.
I think they both was just – initially just scores. I don't think Iverson ever embraced Iverson never had a Pippen.
Yeah.
The guys who could have been left town.
No, what I mean by that is, like, you could put on film of Kobe and Jordan and they're doing the exact same moves.
Oh, absolutely.
Iverson ain't doing nothing Jordan did on that court.
Two completely different positions.
That's why I say Jordan and Kobe maintained a relationship. After Jordan left, they maintained a relationship.
He's probably
because
the one
I think
player.
Jordan seen
that's
Kobe
what
as
saying.
The actual living protege of himself, Jordan, because of Kobe doing his moves and all of that.
I think he's the one player who maintained a relationship with Jordan post playing.
Yeah.
Whereas Kobe had relationships with every good player in the league after he left.
Okay. Before we get up out of here, let me ask you guys a question, and I'm gonna start with you. What's been some of the most inspiring moments in sports as of late?
As of late, I will say the Derrick Rose 50-point game he just had last season, extremely inspiring. And another one that I remember off the top is Jalen Hurts coming in for Tua last year. Or not last year, the year before that. That was inspiring in the SEC championship game. So,
Skinny.
I'm sure Ivan gonna probably say mine, but I would say Carmelo coming back, because he actually like came back and did his shit. He did everything they was saying that he wasn't able to do no more.
Yeah,
he showed that he's still a contender to the highest level.
Mm. I wasn't even thinking about that. That's a good one. I think mine was probably when the 49ers beat the Seahawks at the end of the season. For me, that's my personal.
Yeah. Okay. I had a few off the dome. The Spurs coming back to beat the Heat in 2014. The way they whooped their ass.
Okay.
That'll be shown for years to come.
I think when the Heat beat the Spurs, that's more memorable.
What?
It's more memorable for sure. But I think that Spurs team, that gear afterwards.
That is one of the greatest
I
finals
think that's one of the teams,
ever.
The, one of the few teams that you can say at the beginning of the season, they're winning the championship this year.
There's no iconic moment from when the Spurs beat
them. They beat the shit out of
it. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying there's no iconic moment. The Ray Allen shot is iconic.
Yeah, facts.
That the Heat, I mean, the Spurs beating the Heat in 2014. Damn. How the fuck did I forget that fast? I want to say the Russell Westbrook 2020 for Nip.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah. That Tom Brady last drive last year.
Against
who was that again? Was that against the 49ers?
What are you talking about?
No. In the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Nah. That wasn't us.
Or the year before.
When they played the Falcons, that comeback against the Falcons was iconic.
Yeah, that was iconic for sure.
I think that's all I got.
You're not putting the Kobe 60 points up there?
Nah, hell no. Nah. He was up there. They was just jacking him. They was feeding him the ball.
They won the game, and he 60.
Them niggas was stopping him. It was like, here, shoot.
So you're not counting Devin Booker 70 either?
I had another one on
fuck
my
Devin
on my
Booker
head.
70.
Oh, that was against the Celtics, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're fucking right. Fucking 70.
I forgot that part.
Oh shit.
Kobe
60 though made motherfuckers. That was the same night that the Warriors went for that record, and nobody even seen the Warriors game because of Kobe.
What was that? That year that Isaiah won. I mean, Isaiah was playing after his sister passed away.
2000.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
16, 17, right around there.
Yeah.
I got one more, bro. And it's on.
That was tough. I think it was more so tough because he gave everything in that series. And the Celtics fucked him afterwards.
Yeah.
LeBron coming back against Golden State.
Nope.
Nah, fuck that.
That 3-1?
Nah.
Nope. Nah, man, Bron did
that. Man. No, Draymond got kicked out of game five.
They kicked Draymond out of the game. Out of game Andrew five. Barkley got hurt. I'm not giving that to him.
That shit was inspiring.
No, come on,
I'm
man.
Not giving that to
they
him.
Kicked Draymond out of game five, and he was suspended for game six. I don't think they beat the Warriors
like
three
I say,
games
Andrew
in a row.
Andrew Bowie got hurt. They didn't have their rim protection no more.
I don't think they beat the Warriors.
Festus Ezeli makes a fucking one shot in that fucking game they win.
And then, you know, since we on this documentary, I do want to say the Bulls, Jordan, going off against the Celtics was rookie year.
Yeah.
And 63. Isaiah, even though they lost, Isaiah going fucking nuts on a sprained ankle. What, he put up like 30-something? And
shit, he might well add that Keeley game, too, then, for Kobe.
No.
Well, you got to add the flu game for Jordan. I mean,
that nigga's
hungover. A whole lot of shits.
That nigga's hungover. But we got anything else? You got anything else, fellas?
No. That's it, man.
All right, man. Next week, we see y'all. Peace.
Peace. And, you know-